there is an insidious self-sabotage trait I see taking place with actors. Many talented folks don't even know they're doing it. What's worse is that when they are informed about this habitual activity, frustration abounds as it becomes seemingly impossible to fix. Help your acting become fresh, spontaneous, and full of possibilities. Now, what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about your third eye. Why do you watch yourself act is the question. In this episode of Casting Actors Cast, we are going to explain what it really is and how to fix it.
This is Casting Actors Cast. Each episode takes you behind the scenes and answers your questions about the business of show. Please don't forget to subscribe and like wherever you get your podcasts. Now here's the host of Casting Actors Cast, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach. I'm a casting director with the McCorkle Group in New York, welcoming you to yet another episode of Casting Actors Cast. It's so cool that you are here today. I'm really excited about this particular subject today. This is something that's near and dear to my heart because it's something that I actually struggled with when I was acting. And now here I am, a casting director for over 12 years now. I'm able to give back what wasn't given to me when I was acting. We're going to talk about all of that, third eye, watching yourself business on today's episode. But first, this is that moment of the episode where I get to thank you so much for tuning in to Casting Actors Cast. I encourage you to please go to the website, castingactorscast.com, where you're going to find some past episodes along with Jeff's Jots. Those are show notes that correspond to the actual episodes. You might find that really useful. Also, if you fill out the form that says Dive into the Talent Pool, then you're going to get access to a free book and video. The book, Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the voiceover workshop for professional actors, and the video, Casting Director Secrets, What They Don't Want You to Know. All of those are free. The voiceover book is 100 pages. It's really all about being a voice actor, and I think you're going to find that really useful, especially during this recovery period that we seem to find ourselves in. If you're looking for a way to sort of break in to being a voice actor, I think this book is going to be really, really helpful. Not to mention the video, which is just simply a lot of fun. I'm giving it to you for free, all just for showing up. So there's that. Also, I want to take out a moment and do my shout-outs to all of my other sponsors. I guess they're sponsors, but what we're doing is just sort of have an agreement that I promote them on my show and on my website, and then they promote my show on their website. So we sort of have a promotional agreement with each other. But do please take a moment and support the following. This episode of Casting Actors Cast would not be possible without the following cross-promotional shout-outs. Actors Connection. Please do yourself a favor and check out Actors Connection. They provide classes, seminars, workshops with working industry professionals to help you advance your acting career. Go to actorsconnection.com/New York for their current calendar of amazing classes, workshops, and events. WeAudition.com. WeAudition.com is the video chat community to audition, self-tape, rehearse, and get expert industry advice. Find a rehearsal or self-tape partner instantly. Earn money for rehearsing with other actors. And as a special incentive to Casting Actors Cast listeners, you will receive 25% off membership using the code CAC25. That's CAC25 for a membership discount. WeAudition.com. Acting and Voice Studios. I am excited to share that Acting and Voice Studios will provide top quality acting training for film and television to actors all around the world. Check out my bi-monthly blog posts on their website while learning more about classes for adults and young people, including voiceover and acting demo production. Go to actingandvoicestudios.com. Now, other places in addition to the ones I've just mentioned that I am teaching at include The Growing Studio and T. Schreiber Studio, so I ask you to go ahead and please visit their websites as well at castingactorscast.com/classes/workshops, and I hope that we can work together soon. Thank you. Okay, great. Thank you for that. And finally, I just want to say before we get started into the subject, it would mean so much to me if you would be so kind and leave a like, a review. You could subscribe. We're also simulcasting these on YouTube. We call these patios, podcast videos. And I'm not getting a lot of activity on the YouTube channel. I know a lot of people don't really necessarily want to watch me. They'd rather hear me. I get that. But if you have a chance to check out the YouTube channel, maybe give me a like or a subscribe, whatever you could do to support the channel. That means everything to me. So I appreciate anything that you could do along those lines. Also, you know, iTunes is a great place. If you want to leave a review in future episodes, I'll start thanking those folks by name. So if you leave me a review on the channel, I would be more than happy to give you a shout out as well. So thank you for that. So first of all, when we talk about the third eye, I know that sounds kind of confusing to a lot of folks. And I believe that the best first thing that we can do is to define it. What does it mean when I say third eye? Well, really, a simple definition is when we watch ourselves while we are acting. So, for example, you're in a scene with another actor, you're acting your heart out, but there's always that part of you that is watching what you are doing and evaluating what you are doing. In fact, it becomes more of a subconscious barometer to constantly evaluate your work. So that's what I mean when I say a third eye. I can see it in a lot of actors when they're auditioning or actually when they're performing. I really see that they're spending a lot of time in their own head with the work. So the question then becomes, how does this happen? Well, the answer is usually smart actors who have spent a lot of time studying and training in the classroom or in an environment where there is a lot of evaluation. And oftentimes, with all due respect, from teachers of academia. Those are teachers that are constantly asking actors to think about what they're doing while they are acting. And so, therefore, it seems that actors are conditioned to become, you know, their self-critiquing selves. And that kind of conditioning over time can really be damaging. And so what are the indications of having a third eye? See if you can identify with any of these. If you are an actor who can accurately assess in detail what you did while you are doing it, then that might be an indication that you have a third eye. So if you are aware that you are watching yourself, that kind of awareness is something that can potentially be detrimental. And let's talk about that. Why is that considered bad? Well, simply put, when energy is spent in watching, energy is lost from the character and from the moments you are actually trying to create. In truth, it prevents the actor from fully investing in themselves, into the character or into the situation that they are playing. I also know that this kind of third eye watching is a safety mechanism. A lot of actors are, how do I say this kind of delicately, they're too afraid that making an investment will cost too much. You know, I'm fond of saying that everything has a cost factor, but sometimes actors are just fearful that they are, if they invest too much into the moment, into the work, that that's going to zap their energy, or somehow it's going to make them make choices that are not healthy or wrong or not good for the scene. And so when we are afraid of making mistakes, if we're afraid of making a commitment, you're using that third eye energy to constantly watch yourself and evaluate yourself. And this can be extremely destructive. Now, when is it mostly destructive? Well, usually I see it happening when actors are very, very nervous. For example, in an audition environment or a callback or even on the set. Actors' nerves sometimes get them into such a state that the only comfort that they find is in their ability to make sure they're doing it, watch my air quotes from the 90s, right. I've got to do it right. I also see it early in our training, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, when we have instructors that are asking us, well, how did you feel about that? And when an instructor says, how do you feel about that? And guess what? I'm guilty of this as well. In my classes that I teach, I say, how did that feel? You know what? I'm realizing that sometimes that is a disservice to those actors because it means I'm asking them to evaluate what they just did. And in truth, if they were fully invested, then they probably won't be able to evaluate their work. And then, of course, sometimes it just becomes part of the actor's process over time. That kind of conditioning over time results in what I call being presentational. And what I mean by that is showing how the character behaves rather than the character's actual behavior. I hope that makes sense. Now, who's most vulnerable to this third eye dilemma? Well, let me just say it this way. Actors who overanalyze and overwork their process, sometimes it'll be called overthinking. I find it in actors who really don't trust their innate talent and their abilities. They really want to make sure they're doing it correctly, and so that prevents them from investing in the things that need to be invested in many, many times. So let's get now to the real bottom line of this, shall we? Now that we've identified it, we've talked about how it happens, we talked about the process by which we do it, how do we correct this? How do we make this better? And this is sort of the meat of the matter, I think. First of all, I think it's important to remember that it is a process. And it is not something that you're going to be able to just get rid of, nor should you. It's a process that diminishes its importance to you over time. It really does lessen its impact. And it's not something that's going to be easily removed. So you've heard this phrase before, and this is really the core of it. And that is be in the moment. Be in the moment. Invest in the environment that your scene is in. Invest in the situation that your character is in. And invest in the other actor. I think it's a great technique in a scene to really be focused on how that other actor is thinking. How does that other actor feel about what you are saying or doing? How is that other actor responding to you? In other words, if you invest in the other, then what is amazing about that is you have less opportunity to watch yourself, to evaluate exactly how you are doing. Next is, I think it's important to decide not to conclude any work that you do with a good, bad assessment. Do you know what I mean? I mean, after the scene is over, oh, that was good. Oh, that was bad. I don't know why I did that. When you continue to give yourself that good, bad assessment, then you're going to find it to be absolutely difficult to remove that third eye, that other in the scene. So with what I call immersion acting, complete and total focus, concentration, and commitment will slowly remove the analytical actor in becoming the non-acting actor. I think being the non-acting actor should be the goal. And that means that at the end of a scene, whether it's in a class, whether it's on the set, whether it's in an audition, that there should be actually no real sense about how it went, because you've made such full, focused energy choices in the scene and in the work that you have immersed yourself into the character. Now, I also know that there are a lot of actors, a lot of professional actors that I've talked to, who really think that acting is a form of meditation. It really puts you in a place where you are in a non-judgmental zone and you are fulfilling the vision of what that character is all about. Just another thing that I want to go back to, and that is when I hear or see actors being presentational, what I mean by that is that they're just showing me how they're going to play the part rather than fully investing into the part. As I've said many times, acting is behaving. And so when you can behave the way your character behaves without thinking about it, without judging whether it's good or bad, whether it works or doesn't work, then you have found yourself in that meditative zone that other actors seem to really embrace. Those successful actors who can completely lose themselves in the character. Now, I know this isn't easy. I know it's hard, and I don't think this is something that you should like freak out about, but I do think it's something that you should be aware of. I think awareness is all. Awareness can really rise to the surface so that you can actually focus that energy into one direction or another in order to feel completely fulfilled. I hope that that was helpful for you today. Before we go, I just wanted to have a quick chat about what's going on in the industry. And that is that now that COVID is sort of gone, you know, we've sort of felt ourselves getting back to normal. And now the resurgence of this new variant. It seems like we're going kind of backwards a little bit. And so the industry is still trying to scramble, trying to get their footing on exactly the best way to proceed. And my feeling and my suggestion for you is this: keep your skill set really active with Zoom auditioning. Please keep your self-tape skills as fine-tuned as you possibly can. Maybe it's time to take a refresher class, or maybe it's time to connect with other actors and really work on some material so that you feel completely comfortable in this Zoom environment. Because as I've said, we're not going to let go of Zoom auditioning anytime soon. But now I think it could be even in a more protracted environment, given the new variants and all of the additional issues that we have to deal with. Oh, it's just... you know, it's just overwhelming, right? It's something that I just, every day, it feels just like we're just, you know, swimming through jello sometimes. And I know you've probably felt that as well. So I don't know. What suggestions do I have for that? I think it's important to stay listening to the podcast. I think that's helpful. It certainly is helping me being able to share this information. Perhaps it's also helping you to stay focused on your goals, stay focused on what you are interested in doing. And then finally, my wish for you is this week, whenever you're listening to the podcast this week, I would love for you to do something nice for yourself, just for you. Right? You've been doing things for other people. You've been taking care of all of the things you need to take care of. I would love for you just to do one nice thing for yourself. And guess what? I want you to write to me. castingactorscast, all one word, at gmail.com. I want you to let me know what you did nice for yourself. I'd love to hear back from you. Give me that indication, because I was going to share with you, you know, what I see in my immediate future is like, I don't know, a bubble bath. You know, I'm thinking like candles, you know, lots of candles. I mean, turning off the bathroom light, soaking in a hot tub with candles, right? Can you feel that? And then maybe, I don't know, some Barry Manilow on the... Okay, no Barry Manilow. Sorry, I didn't mean that. That was maybe a little... too much information. But the bottom line is that when you can do something nice for yourself, you're really in a much better place to do something nice for others. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast today. I hope to see you next time on the next episode of Casting Actors Cast. Bye-bye.
Casting Actors Cast is made possible with your support just by listening. Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin Clark.